Earlier this year, reporters from Governing Magazine laid down a mammoth investigative report showing that some mid-sized cities in Illinois are among the most segregated in the nation. The causes are many, the cures are difficult. Change would take generations, even if communities pull together to address the issue. As part of this WGLT Newsroom series on housing issues, most experts agree change must be incremental. Minorities make up a disproportionate share of the lower-income population in most cities. Cheryl Boswell of Peoria is a past board member of Housing Action Illinois. Boswell says to get at segregation, cities such as Peoria and Bloomington Normal should require new multi-unit developments to have an affordable housing component.
How do we move the needle forward with policy that would help when policies come in place and they do housing, that there are some set-asides or some requirements in the development, that so many of those housing or units will have to be for low income?
Boswell grew up being bused from the south side of Peoria to school in an effort to desegregate schools. A generation later, Peoria schools are still very black or very white, depending on where they are. She said city infrastructure decisions affect that.
Oh, it matters 100%. One of the worst things that I believe that happened in the city of Peoria was the urban renewal that came through here in the late 60s, early 70s. It broke cultures, it tore up neighborhoods, it totally changed communities that were on the south side of Peoria.
She says revitalization to develop blighted areas must build communities and not just talk about how old the housing stock is. To do that, Boswell says Peoria has to invest in infrastructure, streets, sewers, and make it easier to develop housing, which in turn creates property tax base.
When you look at the migration of the population out of the city, those are revenue dollars that the city lost. Somehow we have to get revenue back into the city, and I think housing is a way to do that.
She thinks the city should find ways, in addition to tax credits, to make development easier. There's an even more macro issue that encourages segregation in Peoria, Bloomington Normal, Springfield, and any other traditionally structured city. It's zoning. Ann Hotelling directs Hope Fair Housing, which serves 30 counties in northern and north central Illinois. She says the first time we had zoning was in the 1920s, and the origin is racist.
That's the first time we started to see zoning, and it started to segregate people. It was designed to have these single family areas that would be exclusionary and exclude people of color from the communities.
Hotelling says cities can counter this now by being more inclusive in rental housing requirements to promote mixed income areas. But she says there is an economic case for broader use of the tool as well. For instance, when a municipality considers moribund, commercially zoned strip malls for redevelopment, Hotelling says rezoning for mixed use helps in a number of ways.
If you reimagine that as retail and commercial on the bottom, restaurants and the dry cleaner and the cell phone repair store and housing above, then you have the housing, but you also have a built-in market for the stores below. And you're retaining that income in the neighborhood, and you're also helping to integrate it at the same time.
In fact, that's the way a lot of cities and towns looked in the 1800s and early 1900s, and Hotelling says they could again. As cities approach redevelopment, they have to decide where to put their markers. Everywhere at once or in specific areas. This is a political issue for any representative council, how to share out scarce assets. But City of Urbana grants manager Sheila Dodd says there's a case for using redevelopment incentives and funds in a concentrated area until you get results. One of her previous jobs was director of Habitat for Humanity in Champaign-Urbana. Dodd says they used money from the housing foreclosure lawsuit settlement and an Illinois Housing Development Authority grant to tear down 10 homes in a blighted 8-block square area in Urbana and build new ones. And results happen fast.
And in like a 4-year time period, we saw assessments at a minimum go up $2,000 and some even more than that. And in that older housing stock neighborhood, that's huge, you know, to see that investment go back in, families start to move back in. It's a nice mix of seniors and younger families, and they kind of help each other out.
Dodd says not only did the neighborhood stabilize, diversity increased. And with people moving in, she says it's now worth additional city resources to improve infrastructure.
They have taken a look at that neighborhood and are going to be putting in sidewalk ramps and investing in the new street overlays and sidewalk repairs that need to be done.
And Dodd points out better streets and sidewalks will, over time, improve housing values as well. Another reason to concentrate a city's redevelopment effort, Dodd says, is pure public perception as available federal and city dollars shrink.
Really, for people to feel like the city of Urbana cares and they really are investing in their community, we need to have that more concentrated area of focus as much as we can.
By focusing on a single tight geographic redevelopment area, Dodd says, it's easier for other agencies and arms of the city to coordinate efforts in that same territory, such as rehabs, social service funding, and leveraging grants. On a smaller scale, affordable housing tends to be in clusters, and those clusters can perpetuate segregation. Some people qualify for housing choice vouchers to help with rent. Those are supposed to be portable anywhere in a city. Landlords are not supposed to turn down people with vouchers because they are low income. Studies show property owners often discriminate anyway. Naperville and some other entities such as Champaign and Cook County have fair housing ordinances on top of federal rules. Ann Hotelling of Hope Fair Housing says a number of people inside and outside Naperville city government came together to take on this issue.
We at Hope Fair Housing Center were receiving complaints from people, veterans with disabilities, who were turned down from renting because they had a housing choice voucher, and we're getting a response from the city that they weren't sure that their source of income ordinance included housing choice vouchers. And so there was sort of a groundswell of people not being able to access housing in Naperville.
Now, in many communities, hoteling and other housing experts say community organizing is something of a lost art. She says there is plenty of anger and motivation, but less of the careful education, coalition building, and stakeholder involvement that affect real change. It's not easy or quick work. Hotelling says in Naperville, the group pushing voucher anti-discrimination provisions did that work and even found landlords in the upscale community to lobby for the measure because they came to see vouchers as desirable.
If somebody loses their job, the housing authority picks up the rest until they get another job and they're able to contribute to the housing. And so it's a guaranteed stream of rent for the landlord.
A second reason property owners should like housing choice vouchers, Hotelling says, is that the tenants tend to be more predictable than the general public.
You know, people wait for years and years. There's not enough assistance to go around for these housing choice vouchers. People wait, and then they finally get them, and they treat it like a winning lottery ticket. They are very good tenants who follow the rules and maintain the property because they want to make sure that they can have the housing assistance as long as they need it.
She says any community needs someone to herd the cats and keep the conversations going until policy measures emerge. Bloomington, Normal, and Peoria do not have such voucher choice anti-discrimination measures in place. But Hotelling says segregation and discrimination happens at all economic levels, too. And while housing voucher choice and anti-discrimination measures might move the needle on segregation, she says residents also have to be aware of their own tendencies to self-segregate. When people go to find a house or condo or an apartment, they look partly based on the job, the commute, and the quality of the area. But Hotelling says people tend to seek out advice from people they know to help shape the search.
Your social networks, because we're segregated, our social networks are segregated. And so when you tap your social network for where you're going to live, you're already tapping into segregation and the cycle continues.
Hotelling says changing policy at the top is important, but as individuals, we can also choose to integrate our own social networks. She says if cooking, biking, knitting, or a book group is your thing, you can work to integrate those groups so that when housing decisions come up, your social network will be as diverse as the city in which you want to live. All of these stories in this WGLT Newsroom series on housing came through the Housing Action Illinois Conference last week, held in Bloomington Normal. I'm Charlie Schlenker.